Welcome to Fashion Designers Get Paid, a podcast for burnt out fashion designers who want to ditch the toxic rat race, say bye-bye to backstabbing bosses, and work with brands who value and respect them. I'm your host, Heidi, and I believe that you can do things differently in your fashion career. Because the truth is, most industry jobs will underpay and overwork you. And having your own brand is far from profitable. Let's also be honest, most of them fail. So if you actually want to, well, be a fashion designer and get paid, the best way to do it is as a freelancer. Now, maybe you've been told that brands don't accept remote freelancers, or that freelancing means being an exploited temp employee working full-time without benefits. Or to work freelance, you have to be a rock star expert with all the skills from design through development. I'm going to show you that it is possible to be a real freelancer in fashion, work remotely with brands you love, and make money, even if you're terrified you don't have all the answers. You got this, and I'm here to help you do it.
Sourcing, what does that mean to you? Like,
that means finding manufacturers, finding fabrics, finding trims, finding suppliers, any type of thing, like any type of supplier that's either going to deliver a heart that's going to help you like source a physical hard good, like something from your BOM, or who's going to provide the service that you need to get this thing done, meaning like make trim, right? The actual like factory component. And that means, it doesn't necessarily mean like finding them from scratch, but it means, it could mean finding them from scratch based off of the client's needs, or it could mean I have spent a lot of time, and because of all the work that I've done in the industry, I have this whole network and like Rolodex of these people, and I can connect you with the exact right people you need to be connected with. So it's like matchmaking, right?
Okay.
And whether you have the resource or not doesn't really matter to me.
So
it's the value that it is for that person, your client, to be connected with the exact right person.
And so like, if I don't have a relationship with them, but I know of them, so like person who's asking for help, I have information, but I don't have a relationship, but I can give this person's information.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sufficient? Like just making that introduction?
It can be with
first.
I think it's like how you want to go about it. So, and it all comes down to like being really transparent and communicative and setting expectations. Like, hey, I just connected with this factory and I think they would be perfect for you. Full transparency, I haven't worked with them before. I met them at Premier Vision, what have you, DG Expo. And I was able to chat with so-and-so, who's the owner or whatever their role is. And we had a nice talk about, you know, their capabilities and their ethics and their certification, like da-da-da-da-da, like these you talked about. These are their MOQs. This is sort of like what their pricing looks like within reason. And so they very much line up with what you're looking for. So here's the introduction. Again, like I haven't worked with them, so I can't speak from personal experience. Based on what I already know, like I would move forward with this if it were me, and I would continue to do some additional vetting. So that can be option number one. Option number two could be like just doing some more vetting, which is really hard when you're not like actually pushing a product through,
mm-hmm.
you know, but could just be like some deeper due diligence, could be asking them for, you know, do you have any testimonials or case studies or any brands that have had great success with you? Anybody I can, you know, chat with and sort of getting to know if you can get in touch with someone that's done development with them or something like that, right? If it's like a supplier, like fabrics or trims or something, you know, maybe it's you yourself taking the initiative to like order some sample swatches and like see how that experience feels. Like, are they on it? Are they easy to work with? Like, do they ship it quickly? Do they like make it like a seamless experience? Or is it like pulling teeth out to just get a few samples? And then at that point you might be like, maybe this isn't the greatest supplier. So you just kind of have to get a little bit creative with, and then at that point you can share that with your client and say, this is what I've done. And this is how I've done my due diligence. I haven't pushed a product through here, right? I haven't pushed a design through production or through sampling, but this is the due diligence that I did. And this is how it went. I didn't have any red flags come up. So as far as I'm concerned, I would feel comfortable moving forward with sampling or production with, you know, well, starting with sampling, of course. So that's how I would pitch it.
Okay.
Super honest and doing some further research and due diligence on your side if you'd like to go, if you feel more comfortable going in with that angle. Not always required or necessary, right? Mm-hmm. And then same if like the client comes to you and is like, hey, I need a manufacturer for swim or lingerie. I know you're doing sleepwear, right? But like some more specialty construction or something. Or even like we need, the factory needs to be, I don't know all the certifications and stuff, but like they need to like meet these certifications and they need to have low MOQ. Like they're like, the client kind of gives you their criteria. They're like, oh, and then we need it to be like $15 or less and MOQ of like 100. Then you can go out and like do your own research on that. And then you come back and you're like, here's what I found. Obviously I haven't worked with any of these factories, but here's what I found. Here's what I've done to find these. I had a Zoom call and this is what they said. And this factory felt good. And just presenting the options and presenting like how that experience felt to you, like good or bad versus, well, I talked to this one and I don't know, they said this thing and it didn't really sit well with me, or, you know, whatever red flag might've come up. And at that point, you're just sort of parlaying the information and doing the research for them. And you're going in like kind of knowing what are the right questions to ask and how can I dig a little bit deeper into this to vet them without actually pushing a product through. And then at that point, as long as you've been super honest and transparent, which obviously you will, it's ultimately up to your client to take that and run with it and maybe do a little bit more of their own due diligence, whether they're doing that on their own or they're doing that with you. And then if they're doing it with you, like if any more red flags or something come up, like you can kind of, maybe they didn't see the red flag because they wouldn't know what to look out for, but then you could get off the Zoom and you're like, I didn't really love what they said about this. So like we can go forward, but I just want to point this out. Like it's at that point, it's just your responsibility to point things out that they should maybe be noticing that they might not be, and asking the right questions, right? And then, you know, ultimately like it's their decision to proceed or not. And, you know, you can have this in your contract and stuff, but like you can't be liable if something goes wrong. Like it's their decision to ultimately proceed with that factory, with that supplier. And arguably that's true for even factories and suppliers that you have worked with before. This has been my experience in the past, but like things change, right? So this has been my experience in the past and I worked with them with this brand and we did this and everything went smooth and all this other stuff. So I'd love to make an introduction to you. It has been like 2 years since I've worked with them. So, you know, we should still go through the vetting process and ask the right questions, et cetera. So this really comes down to like being super transparent, setting expectations, being communicative, asking the right questions, doing your due diligence, presenting that accordingly, and then like helping the client spot red flags or green flags that they might not see otherwise. Ooh, how'd that feel? I just feel like I was like, gave a whole lecture on sourcing.
It was incredible. I was sitting here thinking like, God, how does she just like roll this off her tongue. Like, you just like,
oh, it's just practiced over the years of like, yeah. I mean, doing the podcast has helped me like talk better and yeah. answer questions and like really think about the nuances like on my toes.
That muscle.
But yeah. Yeah. It's a muscle. Totally. It's a muscle for sure. Right. And like showing up to the fast coaching calls. Like, I don't look at the questions in advance. I don't. And I'm totally comfortable well. Like answering any question on the fly.
Yeah.
It wasn't always that way. Yeah. I didn't always feel that good. But now yeah, I've had so much practice. I know all the questions that I'm going to get. And if I don't, I know how to answer that too.
Yeah. That's something that like I'm pushing myself to get more practice in for sure. Like kind yeah. of on the fly.
Yeah. So how does that feel on sourcing? Do you have any other questions?
Pricing for that, is that in some of your content? Because I'm sure I can find it.
It's a really tricky one. Like, it's a really tricky one. So I think that if you're going out and sourcing from scratch, it's arguably it's the value that you're providing, right? And whether or not you're sourcing from scratch, it's a whole different thing. But I do think that like, if someone explicitly is like asking you for this very specific thing and you're having to go like hunt that, I do think there is a higher price tag attached to that, because arguably the value is even higher than someone you already have in your back pocket. Cause now you're like finding this needle in a haystack for somebody. Right. Mm-hmm. So like sourcing and vetting a factory for low MOQ and all this sustainability qualifications and stuff. I mean, and specialty with certain types of fabrication or construction, and maybe located in a specific region, like if they want to stay stateside versus, you know, that should be, in my opinion, like well over $1,000. Like just based off of like the research and the time that you're going to have to do. And that could be something that like, maybe it's like $1,500 and I'm going to present you with three of the best options I can find. And maybe they don't all meet, maybe each of them doesn't meet all of the criteria perfectly, but you present it to the client and maybe you've got like a little chart and you're like, okay, well here's the five criteria you wanted. Here's the three factories I found. And like, here's how they all match up. And so at that point, and you might just be like, it's going to be really hard to like check all these boxes across the board until we just get out into the network a little bit more and like you get deeper into your brand, but like maybe for whatever. So then at that point, it might be up to the client to say like, okay, well, great. Look, they meet all these expectations, but their price point's a little high. And they might say, you know what, I'm willing to pay a little bit more because these other things are that valuable to me. Or maybe they're willing to like budge on, like then at that point, they just have to decide where they do or don't want to budge, right? So you could, I mean, arguably, I think that could even be like a $2,000 package. Versus like just connecting them with someone you have in your back pocket. It's always tricky.
Yeah, I never thought that sourcing was going to be like something that I took part in, but it just kind of keeps organically happening.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, it wasn't something that I thought of. It's just like, I've just been giving it away essentially.
Yeah. I don't want to see you do that. Especially when you're like proactively going to trade shows where you're connecting with people and like you're taking the initiative to invest your time and your money and your career into finding these sources. They're not things you can just give away. It's just not, right? So, you know, you can also like, oh, you know what? Let me put together a proposal for you. And I do think I've got some sources that would match up really well for what you're wanting. And you can put together a proposal. And then I would, you know, I think it's a little bit about the delivery too. It's not like, well, here's their email, you know? So like, maybe you're like, oh, you know what? Yeah. I don't know, like $495 my sourcing packages, my MLE for sourcing. Did you read my post on MLE, minimum level of engagement? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think so about like it all the time.
Yeah. So like my MLE for sourcing is $495 and goes upwards to, you know, over a couple thousand dollars, depending on what exactly you need. And then you can kind of fill out like what they need. And I mean, you maybe don't even have to say like, oh, I have this person in my back pocket. I think you can say like, yeah, you know, I need to do some research on that. I don't have those sources. And if you do have them, you can just say, yep, I can pull that together for you. And it's $495 for this base. Like I can connect you with this. I can connect you with a great factory. And then as far as like the presentation, it's not just like, right, here's their email. You can like maybe put together like a one sheeter with like, here's the factory and like, here's how they meet all your qualifications. And like, here's this person and they're in charge of this and this person's in charge of that. And then like maybe some pictures of like some work they've done for other brands, even if it's just like stuff you're kind of pulling off their website. Like I would put it together and deliver it as like a little bit of a package. And so you can sort of deliver that. And so they've got it all right there. They're like, oh, great. Everything's here. I can see what they've done. I can see all their certifications. I know their MOQs and like their price points, et cetera. And then, so you can kind of send that over in one email. And then you can say, I wanted to give you everything on the factory. And maybe in there too, you kind of like include a little bit about like your relationship with them and you're really transparent on like, you know, this is what I've run through them and this is where they've done really well. Maybe these are some of the challenges that I had. So things to look out for, or like you maybe are going to have to, you're going to have to bug them a little bit to, you know, stay on time. We always know that's with factories, right? You always have to bug them. But just setting them up for success and like setting the expectation of like, here's what to expect working with this factory or this supplier or whatever, right? So you can kind of set that up in one email, and then another email can be, or at the end of that, I would say like, you know, here's the one sheeter, and maybe it's a couple pages, right? But like, here's everything for the factory. And next I'm going to send an email making an introduction so that you're looped in. And then you send a really nice email and you sort of present the client to them. Maybe not like, I don't think you need to do this to like one sheet thing, but I would say like, meet so-and-so and they're looking to do this and this and that. Like outline it in a way that you know the factory wants to see it. Like here's all the details, right? And sort of like, and I'm going to let you guys take it from here, right? And then you're like, I'm stepping out. That was the end of the sourcing. Like I made the connection. I made the introduction. You have, you know, all the information about them. So I think that that's really how you can position it, as it's not just like you sending an email or sharing the email address, right? Mm-hmm. Like really presenting it in a valuable way that feels good to both sides.
Mm-hmm. That all feels very, very good.
Good. Thanks so much for listening to the Fashion Designers Get Paid podcast. If this episode inspired you in any way to get out of the mass-produced rat race and get your fashion career out of the hands of toxic corporate bosses, just like one of my students did, Alexandra, who makes more money in one day of freelancing than she did in 2 weeks at her old industry job. Yes, true story. I'd love to help you take control of your own destiny as a freelance fashion designer or TD, PD, pattern maker, etc. Get instant access to my free limited time training at soheidi.com/freelance. We'll link it up in the show notes. And of course, make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. We release new episodes every Monday to help inspire you for or help you get through the week ahead. You got this. Me and my team are rooting for you.